For Willie Terry's weekly Labor Talk segment, he met with Adam Peltier, Grievance Vice President of AFG 3343, a union which represents Social Security field office employees.
Good evening. This is Labor Talk, and I'm your host, Willie Terry. Today we will be talking with Adam Peltier, a labor activist and a Grievance Vice President of the American Federation of Government Employees, known as AFGE Local 3343. And we will be discussing what's happening to the Social Security workers. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good, Willie. Thank you. Right, thank you for having right. me on.
And I'm glad you came in to talk about this issue, you know.
Yeah.
Adam, I want to start by asking you to tell us something about yourself so our audience can get to know you.
Okay. My name's Adam Peltier. I'm currently the Grievance Vice President of AFGE 3343. We represent all of the Social Security field office employees from Plattsburgh down to Newburgh and all offices in between. I'm also an employee of the Social Security Administration, although any statements I make this evening will be not as a member of the Social Security Administration, but as a union member or private citizen. In addition to my involvement with AFGE 3343, I'm almost also a member of the Troy branch of the Democratic Socialists of America. I'm a veteran. I was an enlisted Marine from 2002 to 2006, and now I live in Troy, and I've lived here for about the last, in the capital region, for the last 6 years.
And, Adam, something we got in common, you know, we're both in the Troy Area Labor Council, too.
Yeah.
And they had an election last night, and Adam and myself got reelected. Adam got reelected as the secretary of the Troy Labor Council.
Well, I'm a trustee. I forgot to mention the Troy Area Labor Council. Currently, I'm a trustee with the Troy Area Labor Council. That may change within a month. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
And Adam, I know you're a labor activist and been around. And I just want to ask you, how did you get involved in the labor movement? What prompted you to get involved in labor?
I think that what ultimately prompted me to get involved in the labor movement was something that had been sort of building over the years. I was a student up at Clarkson University. That's mm-hmm. when I kind of first got turned on to a lot of labor issues, civil rights issues, that sorts of thing. And upon, you know, graduating from there and getting hired by the Social Security Administration, I've got kind of a front row seat to see, you know, one, just how well the agency is not performing as a general statement. And basically by just believing in union labor union values. I've always also had a bit of a anti-authoritarian streak, so that definitely fits my personality. I think helps to make me an effective labor member. So that's kind of how I got involved.
So were you active in college?
No, I wasn't. Not much in college. I had gotten off of active duty and was paying for school with the GI Bill and also working. So at that time, I wasn't a part of a union. I wasn't actually until I got hired by the Social Security Administration.
So I know you told us just a little bit about the American Federation of Government Employees, but tell us a little more about it and what workers do they represent.
So AFGE is a federal employee public sector union that represents employees across multiple federal agencies, all under sort of one big umbrella organization, AFGE National. The agencies usually will have their own agency-specific council. So I'm a member of Council 220 of AFGE, which represents all of the unionized Social Security field offices around the country and also the employees that work at the teleservice center. There's less than 30,000 of us total around the country in field offices and answering the phones. So there's multiple levels. There's a national component, a council component. There's also state and regional groupings. So there are many levels to AFGE for sure. I'm basically on the low end of that hierarchy in the field office where I work.
So you work in the local office, like a local office?
Yeah, I work right down here in downtown Troy. Okay,
now, you say you're the grievance vice president. What do that entail?
So the duties of the grievance vice president are basically to get involved in any situation where someone may reach out to me if they feel like they are being either mistreated or if the agency's committing some kind of a contract violation. So it's been picking up a lot more lately. There seems to be a lot more issues going on that are requiring me to get involved. I don't know if that is a good thing or a bad thing. We are, you know, in some cases able to get much better results after we've been involved, but the volume and tempo of things that are being presented to me seems to be on the increase, especially over the last year. So and what that involves is representing employees. So if an employee, let's say, is subject to some sort of a disciplinary mm-hmm. procedure, I would be most likely the person that would be representing that person against the agency, whatever agency actions have been proposed or implemented against that employee.
And you said grievance vice president. So are you second in command, because you have a president?
So we've got four elected executive officers. The mm-hmm. the local president, mm-hmm. his name is Pedro Aviles. He's from Schenectady. Mm-hmm. Then we have the secretary treasurer. His name is Christopher Delaney. He's in Hudson. And we have a EEO/Women's Fair Practice Coordinator. Her name is Darina Falvo, and she's up in Plattsburgh. And then each office will also have its own shop steward or on-site representative, but there are the four of us that make up the executive board.
Well, so you have shop stewards and grievance. Oh, okay, so it's two different.
And some of them, so the people who are executive officers will also, in the office that they're at, a lot of times act as the on-site there.
And I know that, you and I talked, there's something going on in Social Security office, you know, in terms of the union and the workers. So why don't you tell me, you know, what's going on with this?
So there's a couple different things going on. The collective bargaining agreement between Social Security and AFGE is basically up for renegotiation. So there's been some movement to try and, you know, start those contract negotiations. I'm not party to or privy to a lot of that information at this time. But we can somewhat get an idea. There was recently an instance where the Department of Education unilaterally implemented a new contract that basically gutted the contract that was in existence before, and management just kind of created a contract after a long period of not being able to establish ground rules. So I'm concerned that is something that could potentially be coming, you know, our way. The big thing, aside from the contract, which is a big thing, I think that in the immediate short term, the biggest problem is the staffing problem across the agency. So offices are, basically very understaffed. There's more people coming in. There's 10,000 people each day that hit the age of Medicare eligibility at 65. And there's around 65,000 total employees who have a different range of duties that they'll all perform. So there's not 60,000 agency employees processing claims. That number, I don't exactly know where it is, but at least in field offices, it's less than 30,000. Mm-hmm. And there are millions of recipients, either Social Security retirement benefits, survivors benefits, children's benefits, SSI benefits, Medicare. So there's the biggest problem that's affecting workers as I see it is just the volume of work that they have and not enough time and employees to do it all. Mm-hmm. One of the kind of magical solutions that always gets proposed when these sorts of things happens is automation of certain job functions. And I'm not completely averse to all forms of automation. There are places and things that could be automated at Social Security. I just do not believe that we should be automating the claims processing system. In any given day during my day job, I probably spend 30% of my time fixing problems that have been caused by automation. Mm-hmm. And that leads to, you know, stuff piling up on desks, people having their claims delayed. We have a huge backlog of disability claims and hearings. And I don't think that there's a magic automation solution that's going to solve it. We need funding to hire more employees so that they can process the work and stay on top of it. At work, a lot of us feel like, we are almost professional whack-a-mole players. That is sort of the tempo.
So how has Trump been treating the workers and government workers in this process?
There has been some indirect things. I mentioned earlier that it seems like the number of discipline cases that I've been seeing has increased markedly within the last year. The ultimate cause of most of those cases is, again, related to the not having enough staff and employees, in some cases, rushing through something and possibly making a minor mistake. And when this is happening, it seems like the agency is very quick to hammer someone for what might be an unavoidable mistake in some cases.
I every time I go into the Social Security office, you know, there's a line, you know, a lot of people and lines. And I was reading something on your website. They said that the Trump proposed budget for 2019 would call for cutting in staff, and it may be long lines and long waits on the telephone. And, that would be a problem for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, and it's definitely not a new problem. There's places where across the country there'll be lines outside of the Social Security office where someone might stand in that line for an hour or two before they even make it inside. We don't have that here in Troy, thankfully, but it is. There's certain times of the month where the office is just jam-packed, usually tends to be more towards the beginning of the month. A lot of time that's when people realize that there's been some kind of an action that may require them to come and see us to figure out what the problem may be. Yeah, and that causes, you know, people probably, you know, do not want to wait 2 hours to meet someone who might be able to help them with whatever their problem is. There's just not enough. So in addition to, you know, not having staff and the potential for furlough days, another thing that may be popping its head up again is field office closures. This is something that the agency was doing a lot of the last few years. They slowed down a little bit. But with the numbers, depending on what the Social Security administrative budget ends up being, the bureaucrats are probably going to have to make some not easy decisions, and some of those may be field office closings. I think that there's one that's getting closed actually right now out in, I want to say Milwaukee, but I'm not 100% positive on that.
Thank you. And that is it for this segment of Labor Talk. This is Willie Terry, your host for Labor Talk, and until next time, continue the struggle.
That was Willie Terry's Labor Talk. Tune in every week for more updates on local labor issues.